the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Every Sunday, I like to offer a welcome to those who are new to Grace Church, and I will welcome newcomers and honored visitors at the point in the service when I normally do that. But this morning, I wanted right at the start of my sermon to welcome any of you who may have come here today to pray to God for the innocent victims of Friday's tragedy in Newtown, Connecticut. In light of that terrible event, we have replaced the offertory anthem printed in your bulletins with a special one, which the choir will sing as we prepare the altar for the Holy Eucharist in memory of those holy innocents. And they will sing these words. Near them, Lord Jesus, we ask thee to stay. Close by them forever and love them, we pray. Bless all of thy children with thy tender care and fit us for heaven to live with thee there. Let the people say amen.
Amen.
The canticle we sang this morning from the prophet Isaiah says that we are to lift up the name of the Lord. Make his deeds known among the peoples, Isaiah writes. See that they remember that his name is exalted. Sing the praises of the Lord, for he has done great things. It is quite likely that the parishioners at Trinity Episcopal Church in Newtown, Connecticut, read the very same words today. And so too the people of Newtown Congregational Church and Christ the King Lutheran, and Newtown United Methodist, and St. Rose Roman Catholic Church. Since all these churches use the same schedule of lectionary readings as we do. And who knows? It might even be that these words of the prophet Isaiah were heard by the congregants at Adath Israel Synagogue on Huntington Road in Newtown as well. Today, these words of singing praises to the Lord are hard because our minds, and certainly the minds of our brothers and sisters in Newtown, are not focused on the wonderful things God has done, but the terrible things human beings can do. And when we come to those times of great tragedy and loss, we can find ourselves asking the same exact question that the crowds asked John the Baptist in today's passage from Luke. What then should we do? What then should we do? Here's what John tells the crowds who are concerned about their souls. Whoever has two coats must share with anyone who has none, and whoever has food must do likewise. In other words, care for those in need. That's true at all times, especially in dark times. In this, literally the darkest week of the year, the people of Grace Church have given from what they have to those who might have none. These gifts gathered here below me have been given by you all to the needy children of our city, so that those children might have gifts to open this Christmas. That's what we should do, care for those in need. But is there anything else we should do? 6 years ago, a gunman shot 10 schoolgirls and then himself in an Amish school in Pennsylvania. And afterwards, the Amish community went to the man's family and offered their forgiveness. His widow wrote a letter to the community saying, "Your love for our family has helped to provide the healing we so desperately need. Gifts you've given have touched our hearts in a way no words can describe. Your compassion has reached beyond our family, beyond our community, and is changing the world. Your compassion is changing the world." Our world is not heaven, as much as we wish it were. And so our job is to work for God's kingdom on this earth by following John the Baptist's words and be compassionate to those in need, including those who suffer from mental illness, and by doing all we can as a society to prevent the proliferation of senseless weapons of violence. The kingdom of God will also come closer when we can follow the incredible example of those in the Amish community who so astoundingly offered forgiveness in the wake of overwhelming loss. This forgiveness lies at the very, very heart of what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ, who told his followers that they are to offer forgiveness to someone who has wronged them not 7 times, but 77 times. Forgiveness offers hope in a world that desperately needs it. Here we find ourselves in the darkest time of the year. In this season of Advent, when we look for and hope for the light that is coming. As it is written in the Gospel of John, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. With God's help, we will not be overcome by grief or apathy, but will comfort those in tears and work for and hope for a world where, as still another St. John says, there will be no more sighing, no more crying, nor sorrow, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Will Christmas come to Newtown, Connecticut this year? Well, as a pastor of a church over 100 miles away, perhaps that's not for me to say. But all churches experience loss and tragedy, and ours is no exception. And Christmas will come to Grace this year. Because Christmas is not only about celebrating with friends and family and singing the beloved carols of our youth. Christmas is about hope, about the coming of God's own self into the darkness. Christmas is about what John the Evangelist raises up, the light that shines in the darkness. Hope for a future of peace and love and justice and mercy is very much alive here at the corner of Matthewson and Westminster Streets in Providence, just as it is at the corner of Main Street and Churchill Road in Newtown, where this morning the people of Trinity Church are praying to God for comfort and hope and peace on earth. The light of hope shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The darkness will never overcome it. And so, just over a week from now, we will celebrate the birth of Christ, whose teaching and example and very life itself are hope incarnate. We will celebrate that new birth here in Providence, over in Newtown, and to the ends of the earth. Amen.